Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Stefan Bernstein, CEO of GreenRock Strategic Materials. Welcome back to the podcast, Stefan. How's life?
Life is very good, Phil. Thanks. Particularly today. Now we've got the good news from the EU.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, following a major announcement from the European Commission, GreenRock's Amitsoq graphite project in Greenland has officially been granted strategic project status under the EU's Critical Raw Materials Act, not only for graphite extraction, but also for processing into anode active material. This designation opens the door to priority permitting and potential financial support, reinforcing Amitsoq's importance to Europe's green energy, tech and defence ambitions. It also marks the first and so far only minerals project in Greenland to receive this recognition. So, Stefan, obviously, firstly, congratulations on the Amitsoq being granted the strategic project status. Can you explain what this designation means in practical terms for GreenRock and its shareholders?
Yes, of course. I mean, the details of it we'll yet to see. But in principle, it means that the political attention that our project has seen over the past couple of years is now come to bearing on actions on the project. So with this, it means that, as I said, host countries will give the project priority in terms of the processing of applications and all of that. And also the European Commission will use its ability to liaise with potential off-takers and certainly also bring out possibilities of financing of the project as we develop it towards production.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, as you said, the announcement mentions that potential benefits like the priority permitting and financial support. But how soon could these advantages potentially materialize, and what form might the financial support take?
Well, that's one of the things that we still need to understand the details of. First of all, it is certainly the EU Commission's ambition to provide financial solutions for these projects, because they are aware and they realize that these projects, they will not happen if there's not the financial support to bring them to life. I mean, not everything has to be on the shoulders of the private investors, obviously, if these important projects are going to be developed. There are already initiatives underway. For instance, the European Battery Alliance are assembling now a fund of €500 million euros to support raw materials projects that are providing raw materials for the battery industries, of course. And then in addition to that, there are several national funds that are becoming available. Should we, for instance, have a German off-taker, could be a German battery manufacturer or a car manufacturer, then we are eligible for funding through the German Raw Materials Fund.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? Because it was a couple of months ago when they announced the original projects, which were all based within the European Union. Actually, I caught a LinkedIn post of yours that made me laugh, and everyone was sort of panicking about, hang on, we've only done the European one so far. And I was thinking, well, you know, he's leading a horse to water. Hopefully some of us will have drunk from the water. But it is interesting when we look at these projects that were originally selected. You might think they're all to do with mining, but only 25 of the originals involved extraction, 24 of them were processors, and 10 involved in recycling. So obviously you've got this wonderful asset out in Greenland. But also you're talking about developing or helping to develop the entire supply chain for the graphite as well, aren't you?
That's correct. And I mean, this is a vertically integrated production of graphite active anode material. And I think it's also important here to realize that, okay, so there are other graphite projects underway. Of course, some of them are in synthetic graphite. Some of them are at different stages of development. I think that to supply and satisfy Europe's coming demand of graphite, we need more than one or two projects to come live over the coming decades. So we really see these other projects as a potentially like colleague projects to supply Europe with this critical raw material.
It's about jurisdictional security, isn't it? I mean, the only other company that I follow in Greenland is Amaroq, which is obviously a very close neighbour. But
yeah, exactly.
A fantastic company, like your Very good. But I think basically, when you're talking about graphite needs, this European Union movement towards, self-sufficiency is also about, making sure that they can get the graphite, regardless of what's going on, shifting geopolitics. Trump and Putin have upended the status quo, and now where you do want to get your graphite from? Obviously, there are some wonderful, massive projects out in Africa, but can you be sure that of that security of supply? Potentially not. Greenland is perfectly positioned between Europe and the US, isn't it? And therefore, you've got an advantage there, don't you?
Well, quite obviously. And also, when you just look at the quality of the graphite and the quality of the deposit in Greenland, that's rivaling. There are really no rivals on the scene here in our part of the world, at least. And also, when you look at the shipping distance, it's only 4 or 5 days of shipping time from southern Greenland to a port in the UK or Norway or Denmark, as opposed to 30 something days of shipping from Mozambique. So definitely great to have this close
I
by.
noticed that you raised £450,000yesterday at a very small discount, so well done. And then in addition with a single institution. Can you shed any light on who this institution might be? You're smiling, so I'm assuming no, but just a clue or two.
Yeah, the answer is no, but I can't say that it's an institution
Ah,
located in the
wonderful, wonderful.
US.
Well, we'll have to do some digging and get back to you. That's fair enough. Just finally from
Sure.
me, in terms of the project's viability and its numbers, feasibility studies, et cetera, could you just make a comment on the market capitalization of Greenrock vis-a-vis the net present value of the graphite that you have in ground at the moment?
Well, the only real thing I can say is that it's hugely undervalued, obviously. The NPVs we have for the mine and the graphite active anode materials plant is approaching $1 billion in total after tax. Well, 800 and 800 million dollars. So obviously there's a huge disparity between the perceived value and what we really represent in ground. But as the financing becomes available to the project, I think people also realize this is a real project. It's going to happen, and you better get on the project now when the share price is low, because there's a huge upside here.
Sorry, and then I did. That was my last, but then I just thought of another one. This is more of a general question. We're talking about the net present value in terms of the current graphite pricing. Obviously, China has kind of depressed graphite prices with synthetic graphite, but now with export controls on the graphite almost means that there's two markets. You've got the Chinese graphite, which you may or may not be able to get out of the country, and then ex-China graphite from, additional sources. So, is there a premium potentially to the pricing of the graphite that you're sourcing,
Well,
given?
we don't know, do we? Because today there is no ex-China graphite.
Mm.
So the point is that at the time where there is a real alternative to Chinese graphite, well, then the prices, I'm sure, will be different. We already see today that graphite concentrate, not anode material, but graphite concentrate traded in Europe is at a 50% premium to the prices that are traded in China.
That's a fantastic answer. Bill, over
Yeah,
to you.
no, I just obviously one thing that stood out on the RNS was your comment, Stefan, regarding the RNS. The EU Commissioner Stefan Sejourn is reportedly planning a visit to Amitsoq. What message does that send to the market, and what do you hope to demonstrate during that visit?
Well, first of all, show that mining in Greenland can be done. It's real. It is a historic mine, so that's easy to demonstrate. And actually, when we just turn around and look up the valley towards Amaroq's gold project there, here's an active mine. So that's a great way to show that. And I think it just shows the importance also of following Ursula von der Leyen's trip to Greenland last year, signing the partnership agreement with Greenland. It shows that Greenland is really on the map. It's a supplier to Europe for critical raw materials. It's a go-to country if you want to invest in critical raw materials project.
Very good. It's a great answer. And on that note, we'll say Stefan Bernstein, CEO of Greenrock Strategic Materials. Thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for the opportunity.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.